This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Arvind Yuvraj.
Let's have an update from Bursa and Break first, shall we? Arv, please.
Yeah, so it is down by 0.25% at 1,578 points. Active stocks include Lambo Group, Luster Industries, and PA Resources. The ringgit is at 4.05 against the US dollar. It is at 3.09 against the Aussie dollar and 3.03 against the Sing dollar.
Okay, Chris, what do we have over on Instagram regarding what we're talking about today?
So on Instagram, the poll hasn't changed. It's still a 51 to 49 in terms of repair / buy a new one. But Simplify Motor says, I've got the time now to Google or YouTube how to repair and do things myself. So I just repaired my Samsung S8. Well done. Mr. Sarku says, my last phone lasted for 8 years before I got myself a new unit. Well done, you.
Yeah.
And PDX3156 says, not worth it to repair as nowadays devices are designed to fail after a few years, and then the shrug emoji.
That's what we're talking about, planned obsolescence. I managed to hold onto my laptop for 11 years with repairing little bits and pieces inside. It still works. It's just at home. I've recently upgraded to a new one. I have a message here on WhatsApp. We're going to get to that in a minute. Arv, do you want to go through your Twitter?
Tweets. Yeah, so we have a message from Drakaris. I can literally hear Drogon. I repair my device, but it's hard because the tools that I bought is not enough. I went to the phone repair shop to ask about where to buy their tools, and they said this repair tools is only for repair shops only. It is not available for consumer because it will affect us. If the consumer can buy the same tools, I'm guessing they don't want us to repair because they don't have a job then. It makes me realize that this is a little bit sad for consumers that want to fix their gadget, which is me.
Drakaris, I can tell you exactly where to get them from, so save yourself a little bit of money. Head over to ifixit.com. If you can't find the tools that you require there, there is a little DIY store inside Centerpoint in Banda Otama that sell all of these little tools that you'll need to repair any kind of electrical device. Anyway, over to very quickly over to WhatsApp here. There's a message that just came in from number ending 7618, and it says, good afternoon. Anybody remember Haynes manuals? Not as easily available these days, right? So I asked these two people that I'm sat with here in the studio whether or not they remembered Haynes manuals, and they kind of went, huh? So Haynes,
I thought of the kidney beans, I'm not going to lie.
No.
The tins of like...
That's Heinz.
I know, but I thought it was a different, you know, pronunciation.
Right, okay. So Haynes manuals were effectively... hardback books that you could get that pretty much showed you how to repair anything, you know, and it would break down in like that explosive way of how you repair a washing machine or a car or a motorbike, whatever. Yep. And you could buy them specifically for that particular model of motorbike, particular model of car or whatever it was. But then I asked these guys in the studio if they also knew what Meccano was or Meccano, depending on how you pronounced it here. So that was like a model construction system that you bought. It was kind of like Lego, instead of like clicking it together, you bolted it together, and they neither of them know what
See,
I'm
no
talking
clue.
About.
Like,
See,
yeah.
No idea what I'm talking
no.
about. But I think there's that element missing, right? You know, that the idea of just like building things with your hands.
So that was my point in the last talk set about asking you guys, you know, did you have classes in school? Because, you know, I didn't really have as much exposure to anything hands-on in sort of my academic life. And at home, I didn't really need to fix things because I think my parents just assumed, like, she's a child, why does she need to fix anything?
Right, yeah.
But also because, I mean, I remember growing up, we had, like, the same sort of, like, old school, like, CRT TV for, like, a long, long time, 10, 12 years. And then we got, like, a slightly bigger TV. But then TV started to change, like, from your HD ready to full HD to 4K, and now there's 8K in a matter of, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, repairing your old device means that you're stuck with old technology.
That's right. I remember repairing a CRTV literally with a piece of string, holding a piece inside up against an old valve so it would work. Literally a piece of string.
I'm sorry to say that the closest I've ever been to repairing hardware is just rewinding tapes with pencils.
But at least you know what it is.
That's about as far as I've gotten. But speaking about, you know, old things getting a new life, Bebo, I don't don't know if you guys remember Bebo. Bebo was a social network from the early 2000s, and it is actually gearing up for a relaunch with a totally different approach to social media interaction. Now, Bebo is apparently also an acronym for blog early, blog often, which I
never knew.
Until I found this article that the BBC did. It was actually once the most popular network in the UK, as well as being big in Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand, and apparently also in Malaysia and Thailand, where I was on it quite a lot. At its peak, it had more than 40 million members. And in 2008, Michael Burch and his wife, Sochi, sold the site to AOL for $150 million, which is about £623 million. They later bought it back for $1 million and tried to revamp it in several ways, most recently as an esports streaming service, which I did not know, before finally selling the business onto Amazon's Twitch in 2019 for $25 million. But now Birch plans to relaunch the social network with a focus on profiles and quote-unquote real-time interactions between friends rather than the news feeds at the core of Twitter and Facebook, saying that his aim is to provide a refreshing break from the misinformation spread elsewhere. So this was an exclusive interview with the BBC, and he was explaining that he's actually coding the effort himself with time on his hands during the pandemic to think about what kind of gap there might be in the market. So this is how he's explained his new approach, and this is a quote from the interview. We're calling it live social networking. When you're logged into Bebo, you're aware of which other friends are online. You can interact with them in real time. You can comment on their photo on their profile. They'll get notified. They'll come to the photo. And they may even have a conversation under the photo. Now is a good time to launch another social network. COVID has had a lot of detrimental effects, but I think it's sort of opened people's eyes to new things in new ways, and people are craving interaction. We're going to do some nods to the past, but you're not going to log in and see the original Bebo as what it was. But what we want to do is to go back to this idea of a profile, that you have an identity that you sort of take pride in, that you can visit a profile and see things that aren't just the latest news articles being shared. Now, even before he had announced these plans for the relaunch, Birch said Bebo's web address was attracting about one visit every 3 seconds despite the service being offline. So he hopes a mix of nostalgia and curiosity will attract enough early adopters to let people find friends on the regenerated site to interact with. There are, of course, some people who are still skeptical about Bebo's prospects. Kate Bevan, computing editor at Which, said it's probably brave to launch a new social network in this climate when there are concerns about potential harms from misinformation spread on social media. So I hope Bebo will take its responsibilities to look after its members and their data seriously. But there's also something delightfully optimistic about this plan. Birch is not yet willing to share screenshots or even an idea as to how the new Bebo will look like. And for now, its only online presence is just a coming soon page, advising prospective users that they will not be able to access their old accounts. And a promise that Donald Trump will be banned. But the entrepreneur says that he's spending about 100 hours a week coding the platform and plans to let the first invite-only member start trying it out before February's end.
So hang on, back in, 2013 when they stopped, when they were offline, they sold it for what, $586 million or something?
They first sold it in 2008.
Right.
Then they bought it back and then they resold it in 2019. But I think they're going to start from scratch.
So they've got plenty of money in their pocket, is what I'm saying, right? So when you first were telling me, people will have an account that they'll be proud of, a page, and you can see what. Okay, so I'm like, that's MySpace, where you have a page where you know a page that you're proud of, and you can curate it as you will.
Or Friendster,
and you can see when people are online and when they have photographs, and you comment on the photographs underneath. That's Facebook. So all these things coming together,
mishmash.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I think we're so used to seeing the social media networks, software, web pages that we see now, that imagining what a new social media page or whatever will look like is almost, for me, almost impossible.
So what I find very interesting about this is that I'm looking forward to it because I'm excited to see a social media network that is trying specifically not to copy the other existing social media networks, right? Because actually, even back in the day, Facebook's timeline used to be called Walls, and they got that from Bebo. You wrote on each other's walls on Bebo. At least that's how I remember it. But, you know, I think it's really interesting that, you know, out of all the social networks to try to kind of restart, you know, like obviously MySpace is really making much headway and Friendster and whatnot. But for Bebo to be the company that is suddenly like, you know what, we're going to take another crack at this.
Let's just try again.
Yeah.
And we're going to move, you know, the conversation away from information to just connection. We're going to move it back to this approach. I think it's really interesting.
It is very smart, though, because a lot of young people don't use Facebook as much. It's a known fact. They've been leaving the platform for a long time.
You looked at me and rolled your eyes when you said that. You know, I feel personally attacked.
Nope. Completely innocent. So it's you know, the signups have been, they've published like articles and stuff about how the signup rates are going down, mm-hmm. and there's like a slightly older demographic on Facebook. So I guess if Bebo wants to attack the youngest of the younger demographic, then they might have a shot, right? Because you have a new social media platform that doesn't want to be Facebook, that younger people don't want to be on. It's a good proposition, I guess.
Mm. Run by a guy that is pre-Facebook, though.
That is pre-Facebook, who hopefully understands why Facebook doesn't cater to, like I said, the younger of the young generation anymore.
Interesting to see how this will pan out then. Mm. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We do have some more messages that we'll get to shortly. But let's have some music to take us to the break, though. We've got the Buzzcocks with What Do I Get? That question again, would you repair a defective phone or tablet or get a new one? Why or why not? Let us know. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp and Twitter, of course, and Instagram at BFM Radio. We'll be right back here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.